Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not afraid to die.
We on? Are we on?
Hello?
Hello? This Blog Talk Radio.
This is Blog Talk Radio. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, we're having a problem with the line. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to put you through. Okay. This is John's wife.
Okay.
Okay. You can hear me.
Okay. We're going to do a little switch here. Melissa Robinson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I don't know what was going on. I could see your number. I could hear everything in the background. But for some reason, the reception wasn't going through. So we have changed phones, and, you know, we're going to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to turn it on over to you. Amen?
Amen. All right. Glad to be here. Good to hear from you, John and Susanna.
Amen.
Our subject tonight will be what's in a name. And our scripture will be Luke 1:5-20. Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you did all you're going to do on today for us, Lord, that you protected us and guided us and kept us all the days as we were in the marketplace. We thank you for your grace and your mercy on today. We just bless your holy name. And we thank you for allowing us, Lord, hallelujah, to serve you. So, Father, on today, Lord, I decrease that you may increase and deliver this message on today, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you for Elder John and his wife, and we thank you for the listeners. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, our scripture is Luke 1:5-20. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready people prepare for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Amen?
Amen.
So, I'm going to break down the scripture in a minute, but I want to speak about this first. It's important, especially in those days, a name meant a whole lot. When I was a child, you know, my name is William, but it's also known as Bill. And, you know, I was named after my father, and that's an honor. But it kind of bothered me because, you know, I didn't get the name William at home. I got the name Junior. See, so I was teased a lot and everything until I got older, and then my father began to call me Bill or William. And Junior left, that Junior title left. So, you know, when you're naming your children and stuff, a lot of things you have to think about. And in those days, when they named their kids, they named them according to sometimes what they did or how they act. And, you know, when you read the scriptures, you find various names were named for different reasons, you know. And they had a meaning behind them. And this was so important that John was the name that was supposed to be for Zechariah and Elizabeth, because his name meant clearing the way, the one who clears the way. Mm-hmm. You see, so it was important back in that time for that to take place. And, you know, in order to fill the prophecies, all of these things had to take place. We had different things that when God wants to get something done, you know, he'll use whoever he want to use and how he want to use you. And yes, we have our will, and we have the will. He gives us our free will. But sometimes some people are judged to have a certain role throughout the Bible. And one of the patriarchs, he was a prophet, Jonah. He was told to go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish instead. And he got thrown off the boat, and a big fish consumed him and took him to Nineveh. See, so God's program is going to go through. And so what he did, mm-hmm. even though Jonah got mad at the end, he still got the glory. He still got the victory. See, so whoever he's going to use, just be prepared. You know, amen. So sometimes we might not even know in our own life when God is using us, because sometimes we're not, you know, sensitive enough. Like back in the old days, I mean, these people the angel here, Gabriel, comes right before him and tells him what he's about to do, and he still didn't believe. We had the same similar situation in early times when Abram. If you can recall Abram had the same situation. God told him that he was going to have a son, and they were well old in age also, Abram and Sarai. And Sarai laughed, and yet here she tried to help God by having her handmaid have the baby, which when you look back at that, this caused a whole lot of problems, because today you can see the Islamic and the Jewish nations always won. And that's, if you trace back history, you'll find out that Ishmael and Isaac were the two sons that Abraham had. And you see later on, Abraham's name was changed. See, so he became the father of many nations. See, so he came from Abram to Abraham, and he became a great man, father of many nations. See, so it's important when we start looking at and looking through the scriptures, and we find the different patriarchs that names where they had meaning and what they meant and what they were going to do and how they were going to bring something out or how God was going to use them. See, so even today, like I said, we might not be aware of how God is going to use us, but if we stay before him, if we lay before him, you know, mm-hmm. time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to the scripture, back in those days, Herod was king, and, you know, he was a king that did a lot of things that wasn't pleasing in the sight of God. And so when you look at what Zacharias did, now he was in the ministry, and they drew lots to see who would go and pray and who would go in the temple and light the incense. And when this, if anybody know, if you see an angel, I mean, you know, today it's not something that, you know, we encounter like they had in the past. I mean, if you know, you don't hear a lot of testimonies about, I've seen an angel, I've seen this. But if you see an angel, and, you know, this, I mean, he calmed him down. He told him, don't be afraid. But he spoke to him and told him exactly what was going to happen. And Zechariah still didn't believe. And it took him to be mute. And the one thing that I have a question, well, I'm going to throw this out. The one thing I didn't understand is at the end, Zechariah, when you read through the scripture, which we'll get to, at the end he begins to write the guy's name down, his son's name down. Where I wonder why this is just I'm just asking. I wonder why he didn't do that before. You know, was it not paper available, or he didn't think of it? Because the moment they asked him, he wrote the name down, and it was John. See, so some things I ask myself that. You know, I don't know. When I read the Bible, I ask myself questions, and I try to search for those things to find out what happened or why he didn't do this or why this didn't take place. And that's the way I read. I ask questions, and then I try to research it. See, so the Synoptic Gospels, and basically they're talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I believe John is one of them, but they basically stress more so in those three. Luke was a physician, so he was more analytical. So when he wrote Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he kind of really brought out different points in the Gospel. He brought out a lot of different things that when you read Mark and Matthew, they didn't do that. You know, Luke got right from the beginning. He started with John and he broke it down. Well, Mark and Matthew didn't do that. They kind of went right into it. They got right into the birth. And so it gives us a little more insight on why John, what his path was and what he was getting ready to do in the gospel. And John was a man that lived in the wilderness. He ate locusts and honey, and he wore the woolly clothes and stuff. And, you know, but he was very important because he was the way, he was the path. He was clearing the path for our Lord and Savior. And, you know, you look at that and say, well, what if John didn't come around? Somebody, well, God used John. I mean, you know, somebody would have. He was dubbed to be the one to clear the path. See, so, but when and John was born 6 months prior to our Lord and Savior. He was born 6 months before then. And when Mary, she was pregnant, and along with Elizabeth, when she came to the house, the baby jumped in Elizabeth, and that was powerful right there. That the baby moved the moment Mary came in, and you can see that Jesus was already, he was already having his way. So, getting back to Gabriel, here's an angel that, you know, he shows up on the scene quite a bit when you read the Bible. You see Gabriel several different times in the passages, and when Zechariah met him, he had a little, he was shaking a little bit, but he didn't believe. And it's so ironic that the same thing happened with Abraham, how he had the same situation occur, and he was kind of hesitant about believing that he was going to have a son because of the age, and both of them were old. And it's amazing how these things have kind of run a pattern here, you know. Now, one thing that I would like to have some participation, but don't let me just read around. Y'all come in and step in or make a comment or something, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can y'all hear me out there? I don't hear.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, we
okay.
Can hear you.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the important elements in ancient Jewish prayer was the hope that God would bring salvation to them. And God was about to grant them salvation and the child. This will set the final stages for redemption. The angel explained that the child would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and thus make ready the people for the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm gonna throw some names out here. The Lord and Savior, Jesus, he was, his name, when you start looking at names, because this, we are talking about what's in the name. And our Lord and Savior, his name is powerful. It's known throughout the Bible. Because when you read Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, his name, he's named the Word. It said, mm-hmm. They talked about the Word. See, so mm-hmm. He is the living Word, he's the walking Word, he's the truth. So, you know, when you look at Genesis in the beginning, we're talking about Jesus, that the name that has been here from the beginning and will be here till the end. And mm-hmm. I'm going to Genesis 1, and it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth.
Then God said, let there be light. And so, I think I'm in the wrong spot right here. Hold on. Well, anyway, what I was trying to read was where God was talking about Jesus being the Word. So, getting back to our text here. Hold on a minute, I'm lost the page here. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Luke. And the thing is, Christ coming in into the world, you know, it was made known by the star, and you know, John. The thing to get me is John. When John seen Christ coming to the water, and does anybody ask yourself this question? And I know some things are the way they are, but when John comes to the water, and when Jesus comes to the water, and John sees him, and my question is, there was no relationship side of it wasn't there. It was, you know, like he really didn't know him. And I never could understand why they never explained that in the Bible. You know, there was he understood who he was, but to me it seemed like he recognized him as his cousin or a relative, but he knew he was the Messiah and the Messiah only. He didn't see him in any other way, any other life. And because he said he should baptize him instead of him baptizing Jesus. See, so I ask questions like that, and because I wonder, and I ask questions, and then I try to do a research on those particular things. But when we look at our Lord and Savior throughout the Bible, he had so many different names, so many things that they called him when he did things, you know, when he, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star, the King of Glory, you know, he had all these names, and a lot of these names were dubbed to him based on some of the things that he'd done for the patriarch, and so today, when we look at him, we look at these names also, because he operates the same way in our lives. You know, and a lot of times, some of us that are not converted, we don't know these things unless you know that he's a doctor, you know, when you're sick. He's a lawyer when you're in trouble. And if he hasn't done anything for you, then it's hard to know who he is. See, so, you know, a lot of things that he did for me when I needed help, during my first early stages of salvation, when I needed help and I called out to him, he called back to me. And I mean, he opened up doors for me. When I didn't have a dime in my pocket, he made a way. He opened up a door for me. See, so he's a way maker. See, so Christ has so many different names, so many things he's done for people. And they called him so many different things. Yahweh, they call him the Nazarene, the Nazarene. They call him Yahshua. Yahshua in the Greek means Yahweh, and they call him so many different names. But all those names that they call him, there was power in those names. So it's just amazing that the people would understand the different things that the Messiah did when he came in. They called him the Messiah. They called him Lord. They called him the Christ. Even Peter, when Jesus asked Peter, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, they say you are the Christ. And I mean, he said you had to get revelation basically to know that. See, so he has so many different names, and there was power in those names. There was power. He's an awesome God, and a lot of times we got to recognize who he is during the time when we're in trouble. We got to understand what he's doing in our life. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So God has he has come down here and put on the earth suit and walked with us and showed us how to do, how to live, and he left his word. He's the living word. He's the walking word. It's so much that God has done for us. The word itself, just leaving his word. When you look at the patriarchs of old, they didn't have the word. They had to have faith. And some in the early stages, God walked with them, and they had to have faith. They couldn't see him, but they still had to have faith. Here, after Jesus died and resurrected, he left the Holy Spirit, and he left his word with us. And so we have this word, and all we have to do is pick it up and read it and understand who he is and get strength and knowledge and wisdom. You know, everything that's in this Bible is a book. It's like when you go buy an appliance or a car or something, you get a manual along with that. And the Bible is man's manual. And just everything that's in there is for us. It's to show us how to live holy, how to live righteous, how to live and walk like Christ walked, and how to understand the things that he did so that we may be able to do it also, to lay hands on the sick and to raise the dead and to, hallelujah, claim victory in a time of trouble, and to speak those things that be not as though they were. So he's given us all power and all understanding. He's laid it all out for us. So his name is so powerful. And they talked about him so much in the Synoptic Gospels, and then also throughout the Old Testament. I mean the New Testament, when you start looking at Galatians and Corinthians and Acts, and that's when the disciples gained their strength in Acts, when Christ told them that when he leaves, he was going to leave the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, that was during the time of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came in, and that's when the disciples really gained strength. See, so we got to really... Hello?
Yes. God bless you, Minister Bill. I'm a little froggy today, and I'm on my cell phone. But listen, I hope you hear me.
I can hear you.
Yes, what you said about the Spirit, like when Jesus came to John, you know, wanting to be baptized, they didn't know each other per se. But you know what? When Spirit meets Spirit, that's when the commune came. When Spirit, he knew that was the Messiah. Didn't have to say, I am the Christ. It was his spirit with John's spirit. John's spirit with his spirit. They came to an agreement through spirit without saying anything. And back when you were talking about way back in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I thank God for what you were saying there, because it always was Christ. Christ was there with God in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning and became flesh. I'm just going back. Go ahead, Brother Bill. I was just going back.
Is this a theater?
Yes. Foggy. I enjoyed that.
Good to hear.
Amen.
Yes,
man. But amen. And you know, I understand that. A lot of times what I do, I'm trying to throw something out there to get a reaction.
Yes.
We can have some conversation here, some dialogue.
Oh, yes. You doing it, Brother Bill. Come on with it.
Amen.
Yes.
See, there's so much that in my life, how the word, since, you know, when you review your life and you look at the things that you went through, Mm-hmm. And you start beginning to understand the word of God, understanding how big God is in your life and how the things he did in your life. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost, you know, when you became born again or saved, it's mm-hmm. almost like your name changed also. You're no longer Bill, per se.
Amen.
You might mm-hmm. be, you know, Bill with authority or Bill with this. You know what I'm saying? So there's not a physical change in stature like they did in the Old Testament. But when you become born again, because back then they didn't have, if Christ wasn't walking the earth then, and so there was a change in names, and, you know, God changed their name to give them a different status. But today, when you become born again, your name is changed. You're no longer Bill that did this or Bill that did that, you know. So you are reborn. You're made new. So your name is changed. And along with that change comes power and authority mm-hmm. because now you are a royal priesthood. You know, you have the royal priesthood. You are of the kingdom. You're a kingdom kid now. So your name has changed. You took mm-hmm. on Jesus' name, you know, in a sense. So we may not have that physical change in our name where we have to go down to the wherever, the DMV or whatever, and get our license changed, but mm-hmm. our walk should change, our talk should change, everything about us should change because now mm-hmm. we're kingdom kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing we have to look at. We don't have to have a physical change in our name, but the physical attributes on the outside, our light should shine so much that people say you're different. And
Amen.
That's the change that we're looking for in our name. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And then not so much that, and just to let the people know as well, not so much that as soon as you become born again, it's instantaneous. It's a day-by-day process. We are a workman. You know, we're in process. But we are changed. Our spirit is changed. Even though our makeup on the outside is still the same, our spirit has changed as new creatures. And being new creatures, as we surrender all unto God, he will continue to change us. I remember when I used to work, I remember a lot of the young ladies there at the job, they were trying to come into Christ. And I remember there was a woman there that was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. But she was beating these young ladies over their head. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. God doesn't say that. He says, come as you are. And we as Christians have to be wise. All we have to do is hook them. Bring them in, and that's what we did. We brought them in. I'm not talking about the lady. We brought them in and let God work on them. You know, sometimes we think that we're God. So when people do come in and these young ladies, they became born again, but she was telling them, oh, you can't smoke, you can't do this. No, that's not for you to say. What you're supposed to do is love them. And as they walk with Christ, those things will cease. As they hunger and thirst for righteousness, everything else will start changing. I just wanted to elaborate on that.
Amen. That's a good point because that's the same thing, and I might have mentioned it on the blog before. That's one of the things that happened to me. You know, when I got first born again, my lifestyle didn't come. It wasn't an immediate change. I had to continue to go to church. I had to continue to read. I had to continue to pray. I had to continue to fast. I had to continue to rely on God and listen.
Yes.
And hear other testimonies. And then a gradual change began to happen. And the more I fellowshiped with the saints and the more that I went to church and the more that I read the word, the stronger I got. And then after a while, those things that were hindering me before began to fall off.
Yes.
I could see my name changing right there. So my name started changing right there.
Mm-hmm.
And my walk changed and my light started shining. So then I became aware that, okay, I'm no longer doing these things that I used to do. So then the people around me changed. My friends changed. I mean, there's people that I was friends with that I still communicate with because you want to be a witness to them also. But the ones that were just outright
not going to make a change right at the moment. You have to wait on God to put you in that situation where you can witness and make a change in their life. But they have to see your life totally change before they, you know. I'm in a fraternity, and you know, I was kind of way out there when I was when I was in college, and and all the guys and they knew how I was. And just recently, the past year or so, and some of the guys, they know that I have made a change, but I hadn't seen a lot of them in a long time, over 30 years. And when they seen me, they noticed there was a change. He's not the same guy that was in college.
Right.
See, so the respect changed, the language changed, and they seen that, okay, he's different. See, so my name changed in front of them. You see? So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at not the physical name changing that we have on our driver's license, but the outward appearance that people should see and say, oh, his name has changed. See? So that's what we're looking for, the Christ in everyone. We want to look for that change, and then we can know that your name has changed. You're no longer Bill Robinson who used to do this and who used to do that. You are Bill Robinson who does this now. See, so that's the change in the name. Amen?
Amen.
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 So we have a lot of names, like people say Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Now, some of the patriarchs called him Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Right.
See, so a lot of times people think that was God's name. No, the patriarchs called him that. Now, he's a redeemer. He's a Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the son of David. He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
He's the son of God. See, so those names are him. See, and that's what we have to understand, who Jesus is, and you know, and his walk and what he did, and in those 3 years, he covered a lot of ground in those 3 years that he ministered. Not that he lived 30 something years, but 32 or 33. I'm not. I don't remember exactly. Yeah, and he covered a lot of ground in those 3 years that he ministered.
Yes,
and they were powerful. I mean, it was powerful what he did in those 3 years. And he changed. He changed. I mean, you know, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they didn't know who they were dealing with. They didn't know. They just didn't know. And when they try to come at him, you know, God hit him. See, so, I mean, he was powerful. And the same thing he did, he's illustrating to us. Look, you can raise the dead. You can lay hands on the sick. You can speak, and things have come into existence. I mean, what he did, he was a demonstration on two legs. He was demonstrating to us the power that we had. He's given us the authority from the garden. Gave us that power. We lost it, but he gave it to us from the garden. Everything that God equipped us with is in us right now to this day. And all we have to do is realize it, have faith, and walk in that authority. And that's what we need to do. We need to, and instead of us nitpicking at each other, you know, this one's Baptist, this one's Methodist, this one is the Church by the Rock, we got to come together as a family and unite as one. Just think now, if every church that's on this earth came together and realized, and really realized who Jesus Christ is, and began to walk in that victory, things would change. Things would really change around here. Even if it just right here in where I live at, in Georgia. You know, we got a lot of churches in Georgia, but we're all not on one accord. So just think if all the churches in Georgia got together and, you know, just one person might say, no, this is in the Bible. Well, when God gives revelation, when you go before him and you lay before him and he speaks to you, he's given, the Bible's a changing book. It's a book. The words are there, but the Bible is to help you learn more. Every time you read it, you might see something that you didn't see the first time. You know, so it's a book that keeps, it's the only book I know that you can't put down.
You can read a novel, and once you go through that novel, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read this word, you find something different every time. And you've mm-hmm. already read it, but you didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
See, so it's a strong book.
I just want to interject also about what you said. It's in us, and it is in us. But we have to let the people know, though. We have to spend time with God. We have to spend quiet time in his word. But, you know, he does give us all those things, the authority and the power that's in us. But we have to know that you just can't live any old kind of way and expect to lay your hands on the sick and they recover. No, it's not going to be like that. We have to spend time being in the presence of God. We have to make that our life. He does give us that power, but it doesn't go to the full extent until we can be ye separated. We have to be separate from the world. We have to be separate in our love walk, in our time with Christ. We just can't say, I can be in the club on Friday, and on Sunday I can say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No, it doesn't work like that. God is not going to waste his anointing on lukewarm people. No. There's too many demons. There's too much that the devil is doing for us to be in and out, up and down, and lukewarm. No. So I'm just saying that, what you're saying. We do have that power in us, Minister Bill. But we can't just live just the way we want to live.
Amen. Amen. When you spend your quiet time, I get up, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's my quiet time, and I got about 4 or 5 books laying on. I walked all over the house and trying mm-hmm. to find me an area where I can really praise God and hear Him, and my area is right in the kitchen. Is when I do my study time, because I got 2 offices, but when I get in the office, I can't get nothing in the office. So I go down to the kitchen, and the word really works for me down there. I can read and gain knowledge, and I got books all over the table. My wife always get on me about cleaning up their area, but that's where I study and learn and understand mm-hmm. my word right there. And that's my quiet time. And you have to, when you're in your quiet time, you can't have kids running around or all kind of noise going on. You won't be able to hear God. You got to lay before Him. You got to pray. You got to.
Yeah.
I mean, and it when you hear from God, it is great. You know, when you hear. So a lot of us, what we really have to do, and me included. We got to really, really spend that time with Him. And I know I have to. I'm not spending as much time still, you know. And I want to be able to. I want to be able to walk with that authority. I want to be able to, when things come in, you know, things happen. I want to be able to rebuke the demons. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick, and not for my edification, but to glorify God. I want to be that conductor that He uses. See, mm-hmm. I want Him to reach down and touch me and use me to touch mm-hmm. someone. See, that's what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know. And not to be pat on the back or anything, because I know it's not me, but
right.
to demonstrate to others that don't know God that mm-hmm. that we all have this authority when you put time in, you know.
So, and we have that authority as soon as we come into Christ, when we're saved, but not to the extent of where it's going to be powerful. Because remember, Christ gave the authority to the disciples, but remember when they went up against that person in the Bible where that demon actually, I'm gonna put it this way, kicked their butt, and he said this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting.
Amen.
This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. They said, well, Lord, why couldn't we do that? Because you have that authority, but you had to go deeper. It only comes out through prayer and fasting.
Amen.
And that's what we got to go deeper. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I also have a comment too.
Yeah.
I piggyback off of you guys as well. It's a lifestyle that you have to live. It's a lifestyle that you must live in Christ to have the authority and the power to work in Him. And also you have to go beyond the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you have to look things in the spirit realm to really have the power and authority to speak over things. Because we're not supposed to look at the flesh, but we look at the spiritual things, and that's how God operates.
Mm-hmm.
He operates in the spirit. So I believe that we must also be walking in this, looking things in the spirit to operate in those different, in authority and in the power, in those type of areas. So I believe that. But a lifestyle must be of Christ to really to be powerful. Like the prophet has said, laying before the Lord. Because, you got to die. Your spirit got to die. Your flesh got to die, for you to move forward in Christ. Because, we don't operate in the flesh once again. We operate in the spirit. So there's some things that we have to cut back, set apart, so we could be really effective in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't hang on to the worldly things and think, okay, we're going to get it. No, you got to let that go. Set yourself apart.
Amen. And to piggyback on that, we live in a world where there's so many distractions, so many things that can easily cause us to miss the mark, And that's
right.
We have to look at and say, do I really need this, or do I need to listen to this, or people calling you up and Facebooking you and all this and Instagram and these are tools, but do we use them for the right purpose?
Amen. So
it's great to have these things because, see, this blog radio right here, this is a tool, and we're using it for the right purpose to reach out to those that are lost through the airwaves. But see, when you start texting and Sally Sue and Benjamin over here, this and that, and are you using it for the right purpose? Is it a gospel tool, or is it a tool that you're ministering to? See, so there's so many things that we do that we use for the wrong reason, and all these things were placed here for our use, but use it the right way. See, just like an airplane. And, people scuff at pastors and that want to have a jet. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it because, if you can get across, it's a goal you throughout the world. So if you can get across to the world faster by doing this and you're ministering and you're accomplishing something, there's nothing wrong with a jet. See? So, but some people don't understand and some people misuse it and the different things that we have here today, and it's going to get bigger and better, but we have to use it for the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes. So the topic today, talking about what's in the name.
Everything.
Everything is in the name.
Everything is in the name.
And our name might not change physically on paper, but our name changed when Jesus Christ came on the scene. So we are changed. Those that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our name has changed because now we are filled of the kingdom.
Amen.
So we're no longer Bill that was in the world. We're Bill of the kingdom, and whoever put your name in that spot also. See, so the name changes, but you don't have to see the physical part of it change, but you change in the spirit, and you walk.
Amen.
You walk in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to take a few minutes and see if there's anyone that would like to make any other comments or any comments with what you have shared with us, which has been a powerful word. The mics are open, and in actuality, there's a lot of listeners from different states that are listening. So we just want to take this moment and open up the, you know, the mics for anyone that would like to make a comment at this time.
I know the Father is still working on me. He slowed me up this weekend. I was supposed to go to Washington, and I ended up with pneumonia.
I'm sorry, my sister. We can barely hear you. Could you please speak a little slower, clearer? You're coming in muffled, and we want to hear what you're saying.
I said, I know the Father's still working on me. I was supposed to go to Washington this weekend, and I ended up getting pneumonia. It stopped me from going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here, I was thinking about how he works on you in different ways, how he stops you in different ways,
mm-hmm.
and he's still giving no more than you could bear.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm saying thank you, Jesus, even though I'm under this ailment right now, and I know he's still working on me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Thank you, Jesus.
Anyone else like to comment?
Mm-hmm.
Mics are open. Your mics are open. All you have to do is just speak. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I just want to take a minute. We're looking at maybe about a minute or a little less than 2 minutes left. Minister Robinson, we just want to make sure that we availed ourselves for everyone who was listening, and the mics are full at this time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
No, I'm going to say to that sister, you know, God knows all things, and he knows just where we are, and where he actually goes before us, and he can see things that we can't see. But one thing about the Lord, he carries us. He's so loving and kind. He covers us. And I thank God that he's covering you right now.
Amen.
He's covering you. And that ammonia that you have, or that discomfort that you have, God, through the power of the healing virtue of God, is healing you now, covering you now, anointing you afresh now. No, it hasn't been easy, and God's working on you, but he's working on us too.
Amen.
You know what? When you think things are difficult, the surrendering to God makes it easy, makes things go easy. I'm not saying that it's going to be always good, but it'll make it easy. Because he carries you.
Amen.
That's all I got to say.
Amen.
Amen.
If God knew she was going to be on this program today.
Amen.
Because that word was a powerful word. It's in the name. Christ
Amen.
Will be everything we want him to be. Everything we want him to
Amen.
Be. He's in
Amen.
Everything. I'm sorry. I'm
Amen.
Sorry. I'm done. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Bill.
Amen.
Brother Bill.
Amen.
So let us all
Amen.
Remember to understand to walk in the power and the strength that God has given us, and
yeah.
stay in the Word, and encourage your coworker, your neighbor, your family. Encourage
mm-hmm.
them, because we are the light, and we got to walk with our light, and we got to let it shine. We can't
yeah.
we can't live in dark areas and our light don't shine.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that he came so that we can have life and have life more abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mr. Robinson, you want to, close us out in prayer. You know, the time has run out, and we just want to ask, first of all, if you could close us out in prayer, and then I would like to also take a moment to thank you for taking time out to bring forth a word to us, which is definitely needed. What's in the name? Amen. And that's a powerful.
Amen.
That's a powerful question within itself. What's in a name? You know,
yeah.
And when I think about that, you know, I think about when God says, "I am."
Yeah.
I am what I am. You know,
yeah.
So whatever it is God wants, whatever it is that you want, God is saying, "I am that." You know, I am that. So that when you was, you know, you were speaking on that, that's what was, you know, was resonating in my spirit. You know, God is, he says, "I am," and that's it. I am. My sister that's sick, you know, God, whatever it is that you want God to be, you know,
yeah.
God is just that. He says, "I am. I am the bread of life." You know, God,
yeah.
God can do whatever you want him to be. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I'm going to close out. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord, on today. We praise you and give you glory and honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because your word is what carries us through this journey of life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we know, Lord, there's going to be ups and downs and there's going to be changes, Lord, in our life, Lord. But with you along in this journey, Lord, everything becomes easy, Lord. So, God,
yeah.
we just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in the lives of your people. And, Lord, we ask that you heal that young lady with that pneumonia. Heal her right
yes.
now in the name of Jesus, because your word is so. And you are who you are, Lord. You said, "I
yes.
am." Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your people that are on the broadcast on today, Lord. We ask that everyone, hallelujah, be touched by your word, Lord, and strengthened
yes.
and encouraged by your word, Lord. So we just give you all the glory and all the honor. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next Wednesday, God bless you.
Oh,
I found in trusting him.